Smile 90.4 FM.
On the 12th of July, President Cyril Ramaphosa published a notice in the Government Gazette to immediately bring into force certain of the provisions of the Competition Amendment Act. Now, the amendments were passed back in February, and the latest Gazette covers many of the procedural changes the Amendment Act has envisaged. And here to chat about these changes from Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer is Chris Charter. Chris, good evening. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
What does the Competition Amendment Act seek to address?
Right. The Amendment Act was passed in February of this year, and it makes some very significant changes to the Competition Act, which has been around for the better part of two decades. The amendments were passed, but they need to be brought into force by the president, who does that by proclaiming them in a gazette. He's done that piecemeal, so some of the provisions are now in force, and we're waiting for some. But overall, the Amendment Act really reflects quite a significant policy shift for the Competition Act and the enforcers, the Competition Commission in particular. And what it does primarily is it introduces a new policy lens with which the Competition Commission will henceforth be empowered to enforce competition legislation. And that is really a lens which is more clearly calibrated to look at how small businesses and black-owned businesses would be better able to participate in the South African economy. So a lot of the most interesting changes still to come into force, and all indications are that it will probably come into force towards the end of the year, are designed to introduce a new set of rules which will guide and in fact encourage bigger firms, so your dominant firms in the market, to take a lot more care at how it treats its smaller or black-owned customers and its smaller or black-owned suppliers, to ensure that perhaps underutilized and underserviced area of the economy is given a boost. And that's really the overall import of the Act. And there's a couple of bits and pieces in housekeeping which has also been taken care of, some additional powers of enforcement for the Commission, some additional rights to the Minister to become involved in mergers, in particular from a public interest perspective.
Do you feel that these are good changes?
I think, like all policy changes, I suppose it somewhat depends on what side of the ideological divide you find yourself. Mm. I do think that it's very difficult to criticize a policy which is aimed at opening up an economy which has probably historically been somewhat hostile to small businesses and empowered businesses. I think any policy which aims to open that up, one should certainly at least welcome in principle. I think with the like any policy, and the Competition Amendment Act is going to be no different. It's really in how it's enforced, and what we will be looking for is some balance between making sure that small businesses get a fair shake, and that the barriers to their entry and expansion are not artificially increased by dominant firms. At the same time, though, to make sure that we are fostering a competitive marketplace, and one which will allow our economy to grow.
And in terms of fostering that competition, is it also a way of possibly wanting to curb monopolies from occurring?
Absolutely. So I think there's certainly recognition amongst policymakers, and I think if we're honest, most of us would agree that our economy probably is quite heavily concentrated, which in economic terms means there's relatively few competitors in some key industries, and therefore a lot of big firms. And that also a lot of those big firms grew big during a previous political dispensation when perhaps there was a lot of state-sponsored monopolies. So I think the truth is our economy, for both historical reasons and geographic reasons, at the southern tip of Africa is one which is overly concentrated. And these amendments are really seeking to see if it's possible to address that through policy and enforcement.
I see that there's an increase in penalties as well for offenders. Which offenders do they refer to here, those that contravene the Competition Act?
Correct. So I think 20 years on, the feeling is certainly that business and businesses should have got the measure of the Competition Act and what their obligations are in terms of the legislation. And I think there was some perception that perhaps these penalties, even at 10% of turnover, was perhaps not high enough to strongly discourage behavior which is anti-competitive. And so now what we have is two significant changes. The first is that all of the contraventions under the Act are now susceptible to a penalty on a first offense. And previously there was what we used to call a yellow card system, whereby for some of the trickier contraventions, which perhaps is not completely open and shut, you could only be fined if you'd previously been convicted of the same kind of offence. Now everything is open for a penalty on a first offence, and I think equally importantly, if you do commit the same offence, same anti-competitive offence twice, then your penalty can go up to as much as 25% of turnover, which I suppose really is a wake-up call. And what it does is really discourages perhaps a perceived cost-benefit analysis that some firms might do and say, well, you know, if we behave anti-competitively, you know, perhaps we could weather a 10% penalty. But a 25% of turnover might make people think twice.
Mm-hmm. Certainly sends the message crystal clear across. You mentioned earlier, Chris, that these changes are going to be brought in a piecemeal fashion. Some have been brought into line. Some are going to be brought into force around buyer power, price discrimination, and the national security veto. Are you able to share some detail around those provisions?
Sure. So the reason that the Act is not going to come into force all at once is that some of the more controversial provisions will require regulations to be published by the Minister of what was Economic Development is now going to be Trade and Industry and Competition. Mm. Those key provisions reintroduce some far-reaching new rules. And you can divide those into two, I think. The first set are those which relate to the new rules with regard to buyer power, which is a reference to the relative strength of a purchaser on a market who deals with smaller suppliers. And the new rules are set to help govern that relationship. And essentially what the new rules will say is that a dominant buyer of goods or services shouldn't treat smaller suppliers or black-owned suppliers in a manner which is unfair and exploits them and squeezes them unduly. Mm. That's quite controversial, of course, because buyer power generally is not seen to be as harmful to the economy as monopoly selling power, because buyer power is one way to keep prices low. You reduce your input costs through buyer power, and that should keep a lid on inflation, etc. So it's a controversial new rule. It's been tempered in the Act by indicating that rule will only apply in certain sectors or certain industries. So it's not going to be across the board. And, of course, that needs to be fleshed out in regulation, which is exactly what sectors will be affected and what will be understood by what might be an unfair trading term to impose on a small supplier. So we're waiting for those regulations to come out for comment. And once those have been finally promulgated, then those rules will be ripe for promulgation, and then we can expect those to come into force. Okay. The other half of that is similar type rules with regard to what we call price discrimination, which is refers not to the price at which you purchase products, but the price at which you sell products. And there's a perception that often there's a discrimination between the prices that are dominant supplier is willing to grant to a bigger customer compared to a smaller customer, which might affect competition between those two sets of customers. So the new rules seek to protect smaller businesses from being exploited in that way. That too requires a set of regulations to explain, you know, a lot of the detail in terms of, you know, when it will be considered to be anti-competitive or anti-public interest price discrimination. So as those regulations work their way through the system, we expect those to come in. The other controversial provision, which is not really related to competition law, really, is the so-called 18A security veto, which is really a provision which needed to be parked somewhere, because around the world, increasingly, governments and states are becoming concerned about the strategic dangers of having foreign companies, particularly those associated with foreign governments, taking control out of key assets within a country. And we see those kind of provisions sort of mushrooming around the world. And I think South Africa's thought would be better to have similar type of legislation to protect our key industries. That could have been enacted in separate legislation, but for good or bad reason, they decided to insert that into the Competition Act, which would introduce increased, I think, burdens for foreign firms who are looking to invest in South Africa. Again, it's hard to argue with anything which might compromise our national security, but the criticism leveled at the Amendment Act at this stage is that the bar is far too low to trigger a requirement for a security veto, and a lot of fairly innocent transactions might actually be caught in the net if we're not careful. So we're looking quite carefully to see how that plays out once the rubber hits the road, and that, of course, hasn't yet come into force. In terms of the timing for all of those slightly more controversial and far-reaching provisions, it's somewhat speculative, but Minister Patel, who is responsible for implementing the Competition Act and who has been instrumental in these new amendments, announced in Cabinet only a few days ago that he envisages that the rest of the Act will probably come into force towards October or November of this year.
That's quite a quick turnaround, though, October, November, because from what you've been describing, there could be quite a lot of discussions around that once those regulations are open for comment, particularly around price discrimination. Some may argue, I've got a right to defend my margins here.
You're absolutely right. I think it's a fair point. These amendments really have worked their way through the system, relatively speaking, at light speed compared to how long it often takes for acts to be amended and passed through. So there's been tremendous political will to get these things through. And I suppose all credit to Minister Patel, who really has shepherded this through. So although some might say one should tread a little bit more carefully and move a little bit slowly, I suppose others will say that, you know, one of the South African malaises is that people talk too much about new policy and never implement it. So on the other hand, you know, one could perhaps applaud a move which at least brings policy changes to the fore quickly, implements them quickly. And the hope is that if they don't work or if they have unintended negative consequences, that that policy can be changed again equally quickly. But I suppose some of it's better to see some movement on policy than none at all, which is very often the case here.
Chris, lastly, where can we find out more information around these amendments?
So obviously the Competition Commission is well placed to advise. The amendment bill is generally available on the website of the Economic Development Department and the DTI. And of course, you could always contact your friendly neighborhood competition lawyer, obviously at CDH. You know, we stand ready to assist anybody with any queries. But you will find there is a tremendous amount of transparency. And I think that if anybody gets in touch with the Competition Commission, they'd be happy to furnish you with a copy of the Amendment Act, which is also generally available on the internet. It's something that obviously business is going to need to have to watch very closely, whether you're a small supplier seeing opportunities for protection, whether you're a large buyer looking to make sure you toe the line. I think this is something to watch quite closely, and ultimately those large suppliers and those large dominant firms in our economy, I think there's much an opportunity for them to play a definitive role, a deliberate role in value chain enhancement, which I think long term could be really good for the economy.
Chris Charter from Cliff Dekker Hofmeyer. We'll leave it there for this evening, but certainly appreciate you sharing the info around these developments and your insights around it. Thank you so much, Chris.
Great, Benito, thanks, and stay warm out there.
Thank you, man.